What's up, creamers? It's me, Sierra, Alpha, Mike, Yankee, Delta, Alpha, Delta, Yankee. And I'm here to talk to Turkey, like Ted Turner, about some professional wrestling.
How many tens of thousands of murders the average child sees?
I figure out what championship means more championships. Haku is back and your butthole is in trouble. Hey now, Haku Haiku. He has a body that makes you say, oh my god, but his masterpiece is smaller than a John Cena quote of the week. What's my match count for 2026, the year of super kicks? And as always, I leave a little, hey, you got a little something right left? No, down? Here, I'll just get it for you. Amount of room for cream. All that on this episode of Wrestle. Creamers. Well, as you can probably guess from that intro, I am on my lonesome. Hot Joe is camping, I think. He's somewhere where I can't, I can't get a hold of him, so I hope he's okay. I'm chalking it up to bad cell service, but I don't know what happens out there in Portland. Because I'm not in Portland, I'm in Cleveland. That's the city that I live in. But now would be the part where Hot Joe says, hey, Sammy Daddy. And I go, yeah. And he says, you watch any wrestling this week? And boy, did I. For me, I watched a lot, I feel like, because it was SummerSlam. Two-night event. And I watched Monday Night Raw after that. Monday Night Raw was good. Some returns. Big cast return to the WWE. Becky Lynch, Stephanie Vaquia are back to help liven up the women's division a little bit, which it seems like that's what we've been waiting for, to kind of get the ball rolling on Monday Night Raw with Liv and all that. But speaking of Liv Morgan, she retained her belt on the first night of SummerSlam. And I really enjoyed that match. I thought it might be my match of the week. That's how much I liked it. It was a good match. It was fun. And overall, I would say I think I liked SummerSlam more than most, but not as much as some, if that makes sense. It seems like, and this is something I've brought up before, I know, is that everything's the best ever or the worst ever. And usually the truth lies somewhere in between. And that's where I think this SummerSlam was. It wasn't the best. It wasn't the worst. There was high spots and low spots and medium spots. But overall, I had fun watching it. I got to enjoy almost all of it. There was a couple six-person tags. Those were whatever, what was expected or whatever. I think the things I liked the most was Nick Aldis, who was my Shark of the Week on last week's Sharks Week. If you didn't listen to that, you should go back and listen to it, where we celebrate Sharks Week. Once again, one of our favorite weekly, it's not holiday weeks of the year. But it was a losing effort for Mr. Aldis, but it was nice to get to see him. It felt like the crowd reacted how you want. He got to do, after the loss, his wife Mickey James and their son got to come into the ring and kind of celebrate with him. And he's still the GM of SmackDown, so I guess he'll be around. Hopefully it went well and is well received, and we get to see him wrestle a couple more times, because I was very entertained, and I'd like to see him fight some other people. What else happened? That was night one. Oh, CM Punk beat Cody Rhodes with the help of a returning, there's a theme, a lot of people coming back, Randy Orton, which I think Randy Orton might be the coolest guy ever, because he comes in, RKO's Cody Rhodes, and just looks at the camera and gives it a wink and then scoots on out. So now I think what the plan with that is to give us the Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton feud we should have gotten leading into WrestleMania, that we're going to do it now. Don't need the belt. Just people with a ton of history that want to prove who's better, I guess. I guess I don't know that part. Randy's still mad at him. Maybe he thinks he's soft. Maybe he's trying to get... Maybe he'll be like the voice in Cody's head to get him to kind of go over the edge or start doing a little more underhanded things. Maybe Cody will start kicking people in the head. What do I know? But the main event for night one of SummerSlam was Oba Femi beating Brock Lesnar in Hell in a Cell. And I feel like that's one that I also saw. It was the best or the worst thing ever. And I, like I said before, I think the truth is somewhere in the middle, and I'm more on the positive side of it. I liked it. I thought it was good. And according to Brock Lesnar on Pat McAfee's show today, he is retired. However, I did see him retire at WrestleMania and totally bought into it, if you listen to whatever episodes we did right after WrestleMania. So now this one I don't buy into, but I think this one might be more real because everybody thought he was going to retire at SummerSlam because it was in his hometown and all that kind of stuff. So we'll see where that goes. But I thought it was a good hard-hitting match. The things that really stuck out to me were, and I would say even go out of your way just to see when Brock Lesnar has the steel steps and cracks Oba Femi with him. I think he hits him like at least twice, maybe three times, but two of them, I thought he hit him for. I still believe that he hit him for real. It was amazing. The best steel chair shots I've ever seen, or steel step shots I've ever seen. Excuse me. I was talking to Vandal 48 member Christian Napier about some of the stuff that went on this weekend, and he brought up one thing that definitely I think could have put this match just that little bit further is if Oba was bleeding. And I know they don't do a ton of blood in WWE, but this would have been the time. It's in a Hell in a Cell. He took some of the most vicious shots, like I just said, with the steps. And at one point, Brock tore up the ring, so it was just the boards, and he gave Oba a tombstone pile driver on it. So it would have made sense. I think some blood would have made it even look cooler at the end, but I don't know. I agree. It should have done it, but they didn't, and after the match, Brock Lesnar said he's the past, Oba's the future, blah, blah, blah. I guess they didn't really utilize the cell a ton, but they used tables, chairs, whatever. So it makes sense to me that it kind of kept that contained instead of going out everywhere. But, I mean, overall, I think it was a... There's six matches, and I think three of them were really good, maybe even four, so I think that makes it a good night. However, I would say night two was probably the better night. It started off with the reinstated Nick Aldis as SmackDown GM changing the Sami Zayn and Finn Balor number one contenders match into a triple threat by adding the man who defeated Nick Aldis the night before, Gunther, but then changing that into a fatal four-way with returning Kevin Owens. See, another return that I think it was March of 2025 was the last time Kevin Owens had a wrestling match, and that was definitely the injury he had or the surgery he had or whatever definitely made me think that there was a chance he wouldn't be back. But not only did he come back, he won, and he is now the number one contender for CM Punk's undisputed WWE championship. This is something that'll come up later with my little gimmick in the middle of the show. But Baron Corbin beat Trick Williams, which I was very surprised by. I didn't think that. And this isn't shitting on Baron Corbin, but just him coming back at all, I'm somewhat surprised by. I didn't think anybody was like clamoring for him. I don't know. I don't dislike him. He's just never been my favorite, but he's had a ton of characters. He does whatever they throw at him, and maybe the time away has helped him figure out what that one thing that he was missing is. I haven't seen it yet, personally, but I'm rooting for him. But I was very surprised that he beat Trick for the belt. But maybe that means there's more going on for Trick in the near future. Or there's more, maybe they just want him chasing the belt since he's so popular. But he just got a custom belt, the white furry belt, which I really liked. So I hope Baron Corbin keeps the white furry belt, because that'll be funny. The next match was... Well, so we'll see what happens with that, whatever. The next match is for the interim WWE Women's title. Ladder match. Chelsea Green got her due. She won, and the people loved it. It may... There's probably things that will have bigger ramifications down the line for WWE. Like the Roman and Seth match we'll talk about later. Oba beating Brock, CM Punk, and Cody, and Randy Orton, and all that. But I don't think there was a bigger specific moment in a bubble, whatever, than Chelsea Green winning. The crowd loved it. There was a really cool video I saw where there's an angle where you can see there's a split second of her true emotion coming through, and then she's right back into being the character of Chelsea Green or whatever. That was a match that I thought... I was very much looking forward to it because I thought that could happen, but also they had very good spots in it. It wasn't like the greatest ladder match of all time or anything like that, but that was one I was looking forward to. Charlotte, Jade... Who else? Lash Legend, Tiffany were all in it. So everybody in it I like. But I like Chelsea the most, and now she's champion. So I guess that means whenever Rhea Ripley comes back that she'll fight a returning Rhea Ripley, which is interesting for many different reasons. And I hope she ends up beating her somehow. I don't know. Maybe Jade costs Rhea the match, or somebody comes out and costs Rhea the match. Maybe... Whatever. Come up with a million things. But I just hope Chelsea gets a nice... run with the interim, I guess, WWE women's title, and also as just without the interim. I don't really like the interim thing. I know AEW's done it sometimes. I feel like WWE doesn't do it as often, but still, I feel like if Rhea Ripley can't defend the belt, then she doesn't get to be the champion. She gets first crack when she's healthy and comes back. I'm fine with that. It's an easy storyline. I never lost a belt. Give me another shot. So whatever. But who cares? Chelsea won. Let's just celebrate and let's just be happy that somebody that seems like a genuinely good person got something that they deserved. And she's going to take the ball and run with it and show you why she's as popular as she is. The next match is definitely a case of... Hey, come on, you guys. It's okay. It was Danhausen and Dominic Mysterio and the Human Monies on a pole match. And I see it getting a lot of hate, for lack of a better term. And I think, I guess I just don't know what people expected. I love Dominic Mysterio, as we all know. I love Danhausen, as we all know. And most of us like both those guys, I think. It's not meant to be a five-star classic. It's just for fun. I mean, really, I almost think of it as like, it could be your bathroom break match if it's not what you're into, or it could be like the, you know, all right, let's take a little beat here, you know. That not that long ago in history, that was any women's match they put on a pay-per-view. They'd put the women's match on, it'd be a couple minutes long, nobody cared, really didn't matter what happened. Sometimes the belt would change hands, sometimes it wouldn't, nobody cared. Not to say that nobody cares about this, but I think that's what this match fills. We talked about it, I think last week I brought it up. Wrestling's a variety show. It's a little bit of everything. And this is for, like, the kids, I guess, and the people that understand that wrestling is everything, and it's allowed to be fun, and it could be silly, and it doesn't have to be a 35-minute classic match. It can be about Human Monies on a pole, and Danhausen, and Minnehausen's, and Kirsten, and Joe Hendry, and the good guys, and the bad. Like, it's... It wasn't my favorite match on the show, but it was fine. It was fun. My daughter watched it. She was into it. So if a match like that can get kids into wrestling, because maybe they watch that match, then they watch the next match, and they go, oh, I really like that guy too, or I like this, or I like that, then why not? Danhausen is still undefeated, which is pretty funny, just in and of itself. And then Dominic will be fine. He's the AAA champion. I think that's how you say it. The next match, well, maybe I shouldn't talk about, but it's the WWE Intercontinental match where Chad Gable finally, the boyhood dream came true. The city that he's from, the state, the college, I don't know how you would say it, but he wrestled there and stuff like that. He beat Penta, who I think Penta had a great run as Intercontinental champion, and... I hope that with him losing the belt, and he lost with grace, he put the belt on Gable after. The next night on Raw, he came out to again say, like, hey, man, like, you did it. Maybe they have a rematch. I wouldn't be against that because I thought this was a great match. and I really had a fun time. I was looking forward to it, and it lived up to expectations for me. But I'm hoping that this means that Penta, I mean, I don't think he's going to be beating Roman Reigns anytime soon, but I wouldn't hate seeing him fight him, or CM Punk, or Cody, or whoever's champion. I don't know. But hopefully this can get him up another level. And maybe that'll happen to Chad Gable. That's something that has always been said about the Intercontinental title, and that's something that we're going to look into in a little bit. But not just yet, because there was still one more match on the card. And it was Roman Reigns beating Seth Rollins to finish the Shield chapter of their lives, according to what they said to me. There was a couple references to Dean Ambrose, Jon Moxley, which I thought was cool. Seth came out with the mask that Ambrose would wear when he was still in the Shield, the little face mask thing. And I think Seth did the clothesline through the ropes, like fall through the ropes, but come back and shoot yourself back in clothesline that Ambrose used to do. I think Rollins went to do it and Reigns reversed it and then did it himself. The dirty deeds, the double underhook DDT that Ambrose did, and then at the end they did the Shield things with the mask in the middle. So if they are going to try to officially close that chapter, that was a good way to do it. I enjoyed it. It was definitely slow, but it was fine for what it was. There was a lot of talking during it. I don't mean like John Cena talking. I mean like, I don't know. I wouldn't call it like promos, but kind of. But it was good. I really enjoyed that too. That I almost wanted that to be my match of the week, but I went with my heart. And you'll find out about that in a little bit. But yeah, so overall, SummerSlam, I think it was, there was more good than bad. I will complain about this, though. And I know that it's broken records, and it's something that we've made fun of on the show that everybody brings up, everybody talks about, but the ads. And I don't just mean in general. I really don't care about match times as opposed to the amount of ads and this and that. If a match is good, it's good. If it's 5 minutes, it's 5 minutes. If it's 55 minutes is 55 minutes. Doesn't mean either one's good or bad just because of the amount of time. But, as I alluded to before, Chad Gable wins in his hometown. His wife and kids come in the ring. His mom and dad come in the ring, which I appreciated. His mom had a shirt that said Chad Gable number one fan. And his dad had a shirt that said Chad Gable number two fan. So there's poop jokes to be made, but I'm not even gonna because it was such a nice moment. And I thought that was really cool. And he got the have that moment with them and that celebration in the city that he's from with his people. And then they all kind of stepped to the side. You know, the pyro went off, whatever, and then they stepped to the side. And then what I thought was Mr. Bigglesworth from Austin Powers, but apparently it was the Root Beer Bulldog. They don't sponsor us, so I'm not saying their name, but the Root Beer Bulldog showed up and gave Chad Gable two cans of root beer to, like, Stone Cold in the middle of the ring. And I thought, and then a big ad comes up, you got that dog in you. And I just thought, like, maybe we could have thrown that in a different match or a backstage segment or something else. I just thought it kind of took away from that moment, but it was silly. I really expected it to be somebody. One of the guys in the with the Iron On Wrestling with Gregory Iron Patreon, there's a group chat we have called the Guzzle Boys. And if you don't know why, you can guess. And somebody in there brought up, they thought it was Big Cass. Because all I was doing was watching it, trying to figure out who is this? Who's about to, I thought it was going to be, I was into somebody attacking him in front of his family right after winning the belt. Would have made the guy hated more than anything. They could have got their ad in, but also, whatever. And then it just ended and nobody attacked him. But somebody brought up it was Big Cass because we knew, or they thought it could be Big Cass because we knew he was coming back. I'm trying to look at the body and figure it out. Who could this be? What are they going to do? I love this. This is going to really piss everybody off. And then it just went from that ad to like actual ads. And that was my low point. That was the thing that kind of annoyed me more than anything. But I'm sure I'm not the only one and people will make fun of it for a long time. But just because I'm by myself doesn't mean I'm by myself. The spirit of Haku. Oh, I did watch SmackDown too. Forgot about that. Haku's back. I'm sure we had nothing to do with that. But, I maybe somebody's listening and they went, oh, Haku is pretty cool. Let's get him back on TV. He's back with his sons, trying to help him out, make him a little tougher. And not only was Haku on SmackDown, but Haku's here with me and you and all of us in the form of a haiku, that is. And this week's haiku, since there's only one because it's just me, unless somebody did one later, God, there's room for creams, but I didn't listen to them yet. My haiku, haiku, goes like this. A man with no fear and a grand American, you both deserve it. Probably can figure out which one that is. But for our middle segment today, because of what my match of the week is, you can probably figure it out, and how much I enjoyed Chad Gable's post-SummerSlam press conference show thing, and just people talking about, oh, hopefully this gets him up to the next level. And the IC belt's always kind of been viewed like that, I felt like, as they've always called it the workhorse title, and it's for those guys on the way up to get to the championship. And I was curious if there's any validity to that thought, or if that's just some sort of, you know, WWE propaganda they've been feeding us to make us think the belt matters sometimes when it doesn't. So I went through the IC belt and three other belts to see, does it really matter? I'll explain more in a little bit. But before we get to that, we got a quick little ad read, and then we can find out what championship means more championships. Creamers. Do you ever find yourself thinking, I wish eating took less time? Well, Timeco has the solution. Introducing the Fast Forward Fork. Using patented rapid time technology, the Fast Forward Fork accelerates every bite directly into your mouth at speeds approaching 70 miles per hour. Why waste precious minutes chewing at a reasonable pace when you could be done with dinner before your family even sits down? Think about it. You spend nearly an hour every day eating. That's almost an hour you could spend answering emails, reorganizing your sock drawer, taking an online certification course, comparing prices on mulch, paying bills, alphabetizing your spice rack, checking the weather in cities you'll never visit, looking at pictures of your dead cousin in their casket, counting the ceiling tiles in your home, rewatching the same 30-second video over and over and over, naming the birds outside your window, calling your father and hanging up before he answers, timing how long it takes ice cubes to melt, writing down all the names you've ever heard, practicing your signature for when you're famous, measuring your television, staring directly at a lamp, reading warning labels recreationally, researching whether mirrors expire, making a list of things you'll never do, deleting one email from your inbox, wondering if your dentist likes you as a person, watching a stranger's garage sale from across the street, checking if your refrigerator light really turns off, and filing a formal complaint against the cloud. The Fast Forward Fork does all the hard work for you. Simply load your favorite food, aim generally towards your face, and press the activation button. Whoop! Dinner's over. Mashed potatoes, lasagna, grapes, soup. We don't recommend all of those, but we also don't want to limit your imagination. Every Fast Forward Fork comes with a complimentary neck brace, protective safety goggles, a tube of Timeco food recovery putty for collecting meals from nearby surfaces, and an exclusive speed eating achievement certificate suitable for framing if your hands stop shaking. Order today and we'll include a second Fast Forward Fork absolutely free. Why two? Because statistically, you'll lose the first one. The Timeco Fast Forward Fork. What'd that mouth do?
Ooh, it's the bad boy, Joey Janela, and I'm feeling something creamy. Oh, you're listening to Wrestle Cream. Oh.
Thank you, Time Co. again. So, like I was talking about before our wonderful break, I did a little bit of research this week. So normally when it's, you know, the normal show and it's Sammy Daddy and Hot Joe and guest, we like to do something that's a little interactive that we can bounce ideas off of each other or play a game, have a little bit of fun. But since this week I knew I was going to be myself, I did a little research. I did a little thought exercise. The Intercontinental Champions, as I said, has always been thought of as the workhorse title and a belt that leads to more championships, but does it? So I looked into it. And I also looked into three other belts. The European title, the hardcore title, and the WWE's version of the United States title. I thought it only fair that we all look under some titles all under the same umbrella. And growing up, when I did, those are four titles I kind of think of in the same vein. Weather vein? I think that's what they're called. Anyway. The Intercontinental Championship. Stop me if you've heard this before. The first ever person to hold the Intercontinental Championship was Pat Patterson. Currently, obviously, as we talked about, it's Chad Gable. And in between counting those guys, but also in between them, there have been 95 different wrestlers with 193 different reigns to hold that title. Now, it went away for a little bit. It's been back, but I'm counting the whole history. And also, I guess I should say this, and I did the same for all of them. When it comes to, if I counted them as a world champion, if it's the, I like belts, and I like talking about the designs and what they look like and which ones I like and don't, but WWE Championship or World Heavyweight Championship or Universal Championship or Undisputed Championship, I'm just putting them under the same umbrella. If you have one of the top two, one or two prizes, depending on the time in WWE, I'm counting you as a world champion, and I'm proud of you, most of you, some of you, a good percentage of you. But a couple more things about the IC belt, just to paint the picture so I can tell you, you can see how these four championships line up with one another. So as I said, there was 95 different wrestlers with 193 different reigns with the Intercontinental Championship. First Pat Patterson, currently Chad Gable. The most reigns for the WWE Intercontinental Championship, and this is one I actually knew, is Chris Jericho with 9. He won that belt 9 times. 9 times. This is the only belt this happens for, but the longest single reign and the longest combined reign are the same person, Gunther, with his 666-day reign that just ended, you know, it feels like a little bit ago, but it's been a minute. But I thought that was pretty cool that his one reign is as much as anybody's combined reigns. Even Chris Jericho's 9 reigns couldn't beat what Gunther did. And something to kind of make it a little bit more relatable to our show is, as you all know, Cleveland's a city that I live in, and there's 4 times that the Intercontinental Championship changed hands in Cleveland. And the people that did that here are John Morrison. His 3rd reign started in Cleveland. Braun Breaker's 1st reign started in Cleveland. Dolph Ziggler's 4th reign started in Cleveland. And the 9th wonder of the world, 9 times. The 9th wonder of the world, China, her reign also, as IC champion, started in Cleveland. But we're not just in Cleveland. I mean, I guess this week we are just in Cleveland, so I didn't have to do this. But because I miss my buddy, I miss my friend, Hot Joe, I also looked up to see about Portland. And one of Chris Jericho's reign, his 7th reign, started in Portland, Oregon. But I got confused, and I couldn't remember if Hot Joe lived in Portland, Oregon, or Portland, Maine. And in Portland, Maine, The Rock's 2nd reign started. So now we know a little bit more about things that happened in places called Portland. And you're all better for it. So I looked at those 95 different wrestlers, and I saw that 44 of them went on to become world champions at some point in their career. That's roughly, well, not roughly, I did the math. It's just over 46, but less than 47% of the individuals to hold that title as of the date of recording, which is today, 46%, 46 plus percent, we'll say. So that's the number we want to go off of. That's pretty good. It's almost half. You got to think different circumstances for different reasons. Different people haven't been able to hold it. But is that good enough to say that that is the belt that you need to get if you want to be a champion, a world champion, a universal champion, or whatever, WWE Unified Universal Champion, whatever they call it. I don't even remember. Is that a good enough? Is that the belt? Is there enough numbers to prove it? So the first belt I looked up was the European title, because in my head those kind of go hand in hand. I don't know why, but maybe it's just from like the Attitude Era. And didn't D'Lo Brown have both of them, or Kurt Angle had both of them? I know. For whatever reason, they stick in my mind. Now, obviously, the European belt doesn't have the long history, but I didn't know if that would work in its favor or against it, but that's what we're going to find out, and I'm going to tell you about it right now. There's been 27 different wrestlers that held the European title, 37 different reigns between them. The first, British Bulldog. Makes sense if you think about it, right? He's European. The last one was Rob Van Dam. He took it from Jeff Hardy. He was European champion. He unified it with... He unified it in a match against Jeff Hardy. A ladder match, which is appropriate for those two. So Rob Van Dam would go down as the last champion. There was never a title change in Cleveland or either Portland's. So nothing good going on there as far as that goes. But the superstars that had the most reigns, it's a tie with four total reigns. William Regal, who is somebody that I think of when I think of that belt, and somebody I just referenced a little bit ago, D'Lo Brown. D'Lo Brown and William Regal each had four reigns as European champion, and I wouldn't want it any other way. The longest single reign was 203 days by the British Bulldog. So he held on to that thing and he wouldn't let go. The longest combined reign, also the British Bulldog, he added 50 days, 253 days. But when we looked at it as a total of those 27 different wrestlers, 10 of them became world champions. That's only 37 plus percent. So it's not good enough. Sorry. If you want to be a champion, you want to go for that IC belt. You don't need to worry about that European belt. Kind of saw that one coming, but I thought it was a good way to at least base. Is there anything here? And once I got that, I feel like there was something there. I said, it's close, but not close enough. So I thought, what's another belt from back in the day that I like? The hardcore belt. I thought that would go the opposite way. A ton of people had it. But was it a bunch of schlubs? Or is it a bunch of chubs? That means champions. Champion, uber champion, chubs. I just made that up. So, the hardcore title. I think we all remember that Mankind was the first guy to get it. It was gifted to him by Vince McMahon. It was great. It was a fun concept. It was perfect for the time. It led to a lot of good memories. I think people look back on it fondly, as they should. I think as kids, I don't know if anybody else did this. I bet Hot Joe did it. We would all have those, you know, plastic belts you'd get from Kmart or wherever we'd get them from. And somebody would end up breaking one, and then that would turn into the hardcore when you'd break it and make your own hardcore. So, Mankind was the first. Do you know who the last was? Stop me if you've heard this one before. Rob Van Dam, when he unified it with the IC title. Isn't that fucking crazy?
Yeah!
I thought it was. He beat Tommy Dreamer, who was the hardcore champion at the time, to unify the IC belt and the hardcore belt. I like that. Rob Van Dam, title unifier. Not only does he bring the people together, he brings the championships together. There have been 52 different wrestlers to hold that belt and 243 different reigns. And obviously there's a lot of 5-minute reigns or 1-day reigns or 1-week reigns, but whatever, 243 different reigns. That's pretty fun. The most, this is one I knew too. I don't know why I knew this, but maybe they talked about it. It was Raven with 27. 27 different times Raven hit somebody in the head with something and pinned them. Think about that. What have you done? The longest single reign with that belt was the Big Boss Man with 97 days. I think he was the one that beat Mankind for it the first time. But the longest combined was Steve Blackman, 172 days. And he's somebody else I think of. Boss Man, I don't necessarily think of when I think of that belt. Mankind, yes. Even RVD, I don't really think of him for that title. I know he's hardcore, he's ECW, but I don't think of him like that too much. Raven, I think of, and Steve Blackman is somebody I think of. He was a lethal weapon, and he'd come out with his weapons. Never, I don't think he killed anybody. So he should have just been the weapon, but whatever. Sorry, Portland. No title changes in your city. But guess what? In Cleveland, Rob Van Dam. Not the unification one, but Rob Van Dam won the belt in Cleveland. Crash Holly got his eighth hardcore title reign in Cleveland. And I believe he got that off of the Godfather's Ho, who also won that belt in Cleveland. So that just goes to show you could be a hoe. So I didn't have high hopes for this one, and I was right. Out of the 52 different wrestlers that held the belt, 11 became world champion. That's only a little more than 21%. That's not going to cut it. So if you had the hardcore title, really didn't. You might have had fun. You got a story to tell the kids, but it didn't mean you were going to be a champion. So there was one more belt I thought could maybe be in the same class as the IC belt, the belt that you want to, somebody on the upswing is going to get before they make that last little leap to the main event picture and win a championship there. And that's the WWE's version of the United States Championship. The first champion of that, and I forgot this until I looked it up earlier, they had a tournament and it was Eddie Guerrero. So there you go, some prestige right there off the bat. The current champion, as we talked about earlier, Baron Corbin, kind of surprised by it. I think it's his second reign with it. I don't know. Let's see where it goes. I'm not going to judge it yet. Just surprised. Anyway, again, Portland. No title changes. Cleveland, though, we had one, I believe it was, and it's appropriate, was 2 years ago now when LA Knight won the belt at SummerSlam. LA Knight's not a champion yet, though, but will he be added to this list in the near future? I don't know. Maybe. Triple H says you got to get over before you can get over, and I think he's over, but maybe it's over for him. I don't know. There have been 57 different wrestlers to hold the WWE U.S. Championship, and they have a combined 94 different reigns. So a good amount of people. Nothing like the IC title, which has a much longer history, a little more than the hardcore, which was kind of just for fun. But 57 different wrestlers have held the belt. It's been around for a while in the WWE. The most title reigns for the United States Championship is John Cena. He had 5. I'm guessing, I would say the most famous, I could argue with myself on this one. I was going to say the most famous would be when he won and he turned it into the spinner belt, which was really sweet at the time. I don't care what anybody says or what anybody thinks of spinner belts. The United States spinner belt is fucking sweet and one of the coolest ones they've ever done. But I think, and this is just complete and total bias, when he did the John Cena open challenge for United States title, I think that might be my favorite, like, I don't even know how many months that was. It feels like it went forever in a good way. Because I loved it. He'd come out and cut a promo, and you want some, come get some, and somebody'd come out, and they'd have an awesome match, and you would be like, oh shit, this is going to be the guy to beat him, and it never was, until it was Alberto Del Rio. Remember that? Anyway, the longest, he never held it long in any of those 5 reigns, though, because the longest single reign was Dean Ambrose, 351 days. I probably should have done the research since I'm the one doing this, but I'm assuming that's when he was in the Shield. Which is appropriate, because the Shield is done forever now. WWE told me nothing will ever happen. They'll never team up or reference it again. But the longest combined United States title reigns is MVP. Montel Vontavious Porter had 416 total days as the United States champion. So, once I looked into it, and saw that there was 57 different wrestlers, I saw how many world champions. You want to guess? I'll tell you. 28 different wrestlers have become world champion and also been United States champion. And that gives us a grand total of 49%. The IC title was 46. This is 49. That's my quick math is that's 3% more. So we have debunked the WWE propaganda that the IC belt's the belt you get on the way up, that it's the workhorse belt, that it's the belt for the guy that the people want, that are going to do the bad. Blah, 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 blah. It's the United States title you want to get. So for all you wrestlers that listen, that want to get into the WWE, or you guys that are listening and that are already there, or you women, there's a women's one now, but that's for another time when Hot Joe goes camping. Don't worry about the Intercontinental Championship. Worry about the United States Championship, because that's the title you need to get if you want success in your future. And now it's time for the John Cena quote of the week. If you give your absolute all to something, no matter the result, you should be at peace knowing you couldn't have worked any harder. Sammy Daddy? Yeah? What's your match count for 2026, the year of Super Kicks? Oh, I'm glad you asked. My match count for 2026, the year of Super Kicks, is 312 matches. I made a little jump. My 300th match, before I do my match of the week, my 300th match was the Undisputed WWE Title Championship between CM Punk and Cody Rhodes, which that would be one that I think some people, as I've said 10 times already, some people love, some people hate it. I would be right in the middle, maybe a little more towards, it was a little more towards no than yes for me, but I still enjoyed it. And Randy Orton winking at the camera should be a meme, and it's awesome, and he's so cool. But my match of the week, you can guess, it was kind of the theme of the show. Chad Gable versus Penta. Chad Gable finally getting that singles title win. Penta losing with grace after a wonderful reign. And I'm excited to see what happens for both of them. I hope it leads to a lot. I expect a bunch of good matches out of both of them for whatever they end up doing next. So it's going to be good. But that leads us to our room for cream. I have mine and I have some more. I'm going to go last. Just because it's just me. So I feel like normally one of us should go towards the end. I don't even know what we're getting into because I haven't listened to any of these. But I have three of them. And they're here somewhere. I don't know where. But God damn it, they're here. So that's that. That's that. I need to do this. And then this. And then this. And then that. There we go. The first room for cream will be from number one's Creedman, Ronald Two Legs.
Heyo, what's up?
Heyo.
Boy, Ronnie Deuces.
Hey, Ronald Two Legs.
Sammy Daddy, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Word that's only Sammy Daddy this week.
You got the right word.
Hot Joe is out homeless LARPing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's public knowledge, but he's doing a little homeless LARPing.
That's what I said before.
He's doing some camping, pretending he's homeless, living in the woods.
It's his favorite thing.
Cooking beans over a fire.
Is he? Are you there?
Sammy Daddy. So figured I'd call in, give a little room for cream.
Give it to me.
This week.
Give it to me.
Room for cream is going to the doctor. I called last week. I had some problems with my cat.
Yeah.
Now it seems I'm having all kinds of health problems. So I just wanted to tell everyone, if you're not feeling good, you should go to the doctor. Because not going to the doctor for many years could make things worse.
And it adds up.
Things. So if See? You're not feeling good, you should go to the doctor.
Go to the doctor.
Even though it's very expensive.
It's okay. You don't have to pay it.
The system in this country fucking sucks.
It's terrible.
A lot of things, but
But you don't have to pay it. It's fine.
Go to your doctor and get whatever's wrong with you taken care of. Because if you don't, it could be bad. So, yeah.
Well.
So, hopefully everybody's doing well. Sammy Daddy.
Not anymore. Now I'm worried.
We'll have to get together here soon.
Yes, we will.
Get together and hang
it's
out.
Busy. The kids are best friends.
Yeah. Hopefully Hot Joe's having a good time out there in the woods.
I hope he doesn't get lost.
So, all right, boys. Oh. Do you see Danhausen got that giant sack of human money?
I did. I talked about it.
Some people didn't love
You'll hear.
But, my 7-year-old fucking loved it.
See?
I thought it was great.
This is what we were talking about.
You don't need every wrestling match to be like, you know, some work rate fest of whatever.
It's gonna. People are going to think I listened to this.
Palate cleansing.
Before. You know? That's what I...
It's good stuff.
I don't even need to do the show.
I'm going
to
shut the fuck up now. Bye. Love you.
Love you.
Damn, turn this guy.
He still can't figure it out.
This fucking thing turn off.
He never knows what to do.
Turn off. Let me see. Turn off.
Maybe. Oh, that worked. So, there you go. He said everything that I said, so I'm not needed. I think the Creamers can just do the show on their own, and we'll just call it Room for Cream, but who would name a show that? But yeah, number one, I agree with I should probably follow the advice as well, but I understand where he's coming from of take care of yourself. Nobody else is gonna, so you need to do it. And go get that thing checked out. You know what I'm talking about. But I hope everything's all right with Ronnie too. Like, I don't know exactly what he's alluding to. I knew about the stuff with his cat, which I believe is doing better from the last I heard. So all the good vibes from the Creamers and everybody has helped as well as modern medicine. But I'm gonna put it on the vibes. What was the other thing? Oh, the Danhausen thing. He just said what I said. So if you want to know what I think about what he said, just rewind back to the beginning. Because it'd be weird if you listen to this part, but not the beginning part. But it's going to sound like I copied what he said, but we said the same thing. Because I feel like our brains are like, he's Ronnie Daddy, and I'm Sammy Two Legs. That's what it felt like. Thought I had another one, but I don't. However, that leads us to our next Room for Cream, which is somebody else that I don't know what the Room for Cream is, but I know I also think a lot like this fella. And that fella is Wrestle Rugs. Okay.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, what's up?
I guess it's just Sammy Daddy this week.
Well, yeah, but that's fine.
Wrestle Rugs.
Hey, buddy.
The official third man coming at you with a Room
for One, Cream. Two, three.
I know, I think last week, maybe 2 weeks ago,
who can keep track?
I said I was thinking about becoming a Shrimp Daddy.
Oh, yeah, Shrimp Daddy.
Step one's complete. Got a tank.
Shrimp set. Hell yeah.
I'm so pumped.
We love shrimp.
You guys updating on how it goes, but it's going to be about 2 months before I can put some shrimp in there.
What?
And, that's about it for me. Sammy Daddy, good luck on the solo show.
Thanks, I hope you liked it.
Hot Joe is camping.
Okay, good. I didn't know.
I'm looking for more of an inside boy, because I'm more of an inside boy myself.
I'm an inside boy.
But, love you, boys.
Thanks. Well, I hope. Oh, it started over, because I don't know what I'm doing there. I stopped it. Yeah, I'm an inside boy. Oh, God, I don't know how to. I need. Sean, can you do this? What is happening? What am I doing? Why am I doing this by myself? You should be hitting the buttons. Anyway. What are we talking about? Oh, shrimp. Yeah, the shrimp thing's cool. I'm excited to see how that goes. Why does it take 2 months? Do you mean just because you're busy it's going to take 2 months? Or does it just normally take 2 months? Like the water temperature for the shrimp to grow? Are they in eggs? How are shrimp... I have a lot of questions that you're going to answer in the comments below. Shrimp. I can't wait for the first shrimp rug. Because that's a cool thing, and I feel like it would work well. That'd be good. A shrimp rug would be good for under a table, if you think about it. That's what I'm doing. I'm thinking about it. So, that leaves one more Room for Cream, if I can find it. And I found it. I don't know what we're getting for, but I'm excited to get there with all of you. It's Joe the Panther the Third. Panther's Pit.
Creamers.
Hey.
Hey, guys.
I did.
It's me, Joe Panther.
Hey, Joe the Panther the Third. Oh, good.
And relaxing here in the
And
I was just thinking.
Panther Pit.
I wonder if the guys from Creamers need me to do another one.
We do. Every week.
We'll do it.
Well,
if
except for, yeah.
You could give this past weekend's Summer Slam.
Oh, I was talking about that before.
Like normal, like I do like my reviews on the Joe Panther Variety Show for like the food. And
check out his YouTube. Go look it up.
Oh, 1 to 10. Have a good day, Creamers.
Creamers.
Keep on creaming. Hey, Cream.
Well, yeah. I like keep on creaming. That was good. And staying awesome. I try. I don't know if I can. So, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being 1 and 10 being 10, I would give SummerSlam a 7.3468. What do you give it on a scale of 1 to 10? Tell me in the comments below. So I guess that leaves my room for cream. I didn't really know. I wish you guys knew how much. I think Hot Joe's in the same boat. How much I struggle with these every week. And I think of things all week. And I always, oh, that'd be a good one. That'd be a good one. And I try to remember to put it in my phone, and I don't. Or write it down, and I don't. So it's hard. So the thing that came to mind is Spider-Man came out. It's biggest movie of all time or whatever. I don't understand how it works. There's always a new movie that's bigger than, I don't know. And but so it came out. I want to see it. I don't know when I'm going to get a chance to see it. But I saw a lot of people complaining, like, hey, you guys remember when Endgame came out? And they said, like, hey, everybody, don't do spoilers for, like, 2 weeks. Please, like, be cool. Like, if you want to, like, look it up, like, tell people, but whatever. And now they did, like, at least the way people were complaining about it, I don't know if it's true or not, they were saying, Marvel said, oh, give it a day. And I thought, well, that doesn't seem right. And it was like a day of, it wasn't even the day, like, it was released. It was like the day after they premiered it. Like, hey, give everybody a day. And it's like, well, what are we doing? So I think spoilers for something like that, something as big as that, obviously people want to see it. So I think spoilers suck. And there was a video I watched where somebody, it was meant in a sarcastic, comedic way, where they said, man, you would think with the what's coming out at the end of the year, Doomsday, Marvel Doomsday, Avengers Doomsday, whatever, and then Secret Wars or whatever it is, or is it Secret Wars? I don't know. If Hot Joe was here, he could tell me. With those coming out, you'd think that you would save this big thing happening for those. It would really suck if that big thing happened in this Spider-Man movie and they were grasping at straws to make the things, like, bigger than they needed to be instead of just waiting. And then, I watching that video, by the end of it, I realized, like, oh, he's fucking saying what happened. So it really bummed me out. And I had a friend that saw it. And I, without spoiling it for that friend, I tried to reiterate, like, what I just said to you guys. And I said, if that happens, I will know by your reaction when I ask you, hey, how was the thing that you're asking, blah, blah, blah. And his reaction made me think that it really was spoiled for me. So that kind of bums me out, is that I would have had no idea. I really don't look at stuff anymore. I've bitched about trailers, like, years ago. I still get caught up watching them. I can't help it. So I try not to watch too many trailers. I try not to really read anything. And that video on the internet kind of that messed it up for me. So I think, I'm not saying, a lot of times somebody will be like, hey, I watched this show or this movie or whatever. Or even wrestling that I haven't had a chance to watch this and somebody else watched it. And I they'll say, like, oh, I don't want to spoil it for you. And the majority of the time I go, no, it's fine. I don't care. I'm not going to watch it. Or I'm not going to. Or if I do watch it, that's not going to ruin it for me. I want to watch it anyway. But something like that, I don't want to have it spoiled. So I thought, when it comes to spoilers, we should treat it like we treat sex. That you need consent. Well, that's all the time we got for tonight, Creamers.
Creamers!
I love you, and I wish you the best. Spoiler alert. Spider-Man.
Vince agreed to let me go do things outside of wrestling. And I had a chance to spend some time with him. He invited me to come to his place, and they're all there. Vince is there, and Pat Patterson, I don't know who else was there. And Vince said they've got ulterior motives. And then he went and got Jerry Briscoe. We went in the shower, and he proceeded to have Jerry Briscoe from the backside. He was a real hard worker, just a grunty style. Like, he was grunt. So I was interested to get involved. And I told him what I wanted to do, you know, have people put around me that could direct me effectively so I could go on and be successful at it and stuff. There were plenty of guys there, and it just grew. So we both let one another F it. And they were congratulating me, saying, man, that was awesome. This is really great. And late that night, Linda came into the picture. And I said, this is unnatural, you know. I've just never been into any of that stuff. You know, women, you know, all that stuff and everything. That doesn't work for me. I almost fell to my knees and just started throwing up right there. And then something told me to come. Yeah, and he said, don't come. You don't need to come. And I said, what do you mean, don't come? It's what I wanted to do. And I didn't push it in their face. And he said, okay. It was unbelievable. It was a shoot. And I had incredible discipline. And it was magic. Next morning, about 11:45, Vince eventually stepped in. He couldn't even walk right. He stepped in and said, I'm not doing this anymore. We're not doing this stuff. And I was really surprised that he did that. Like, he just wanted to keep going from one thing to the next, as long as somebody would stick it out. I mean, he had an addiction problem, and, you know, I would have expected more.